Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, where I coach owners of cleaning companies every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on anything and everything related to growing and building cleaning companies. If that's you and you are committed to growing your cleaning company, go to growmycleaningcompany.com where you can get everything you need to create the cleaning company you've always wanted. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, you can email our producer Natalie at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com or give us a call with any suggestions or thoughts or questions you'd like me to answer, 480-648-5149. We are excited to hear from you, Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with Derek Marks from We Got Next Cleaning. We Got Next serves the greater Phoenix area with commercial cleaning services. If you want to reach out to Derek and his team, you can get a hold of them at www.wegotnextcleaning.com. Derek, so glad to have you. Say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hello, Cleaning Nation. How are you doing today?
You know that they can't talk back, right? It's just you and me.
I do.
So I was telling Derek before we start, I'm so fired up. I live here in Phoenix, and I finally get to talk to a local boy. So it's exciting. Most of the time, we're all over the globe. So an extra special welcome to my Phoenix friend, Derek, and all of our Phoenix listeners. That said, Derek, what's shaking, man? How'd you get in the cleaning business, and what's going on in your world?
Started about 3 years ago and wanted to do something else, and I tried many things, and just got an opportunity to do something else, and cleaning was something that everybody needs, and a lot of people don't like to do it, and, I didn't mind at the time. Now I love it, so okay. I can make money at it, and it's good for us.
You been a business owner before, or is your cleaning company kind of your first entrepreneurial adventure?
The cleaning company was my very first successful anything.
Okay.
I basically worked for someone else, and that didn't work out anymore for me, and I want to try something else, so I got into cleaning.
All right, fantastic. And where are you at now? How many, looks like you serve commercial. How many employees do you have run around there?
We currently have 6 employees, and, our major market is we service churches, and we have some schools and some dance studios, different things like that, but our major focus is on churches, flooring and stuff like that, and we have 6 employees that work for us. So
all
we
right,
do commercial janitorial and floor cleaning.
Okay, cool. And do you do one-time floor cleaning, or is your floor cleaning only for your contract customers?
No, we do one-time cleanings. We set them up for one-time service, but we try to keep them. We don't just like one-time business. We want them to make them customers ours ongoing. So not just my customers we clean for, but anyone we can clean for.
Okay, cool. So it looks like you've been in the business a couple of years. You do all commercial. I like that you have a niche. If you listen to the show, I'm a huge fan of being real specific about your customer. So I love that. What can I help you with today, my friend?
Well, I have a real-time question that I'd like to see if I can get answered. It's basically that I just got my biggest account of my almost 4 years in business now. We just signed up a very large customer of ours, and I need to hire 3 awesome workers to work with us on that account, and I need help with what do I do next.
Beautiful. All right. Well, I will absolutely help you with that, but before we dive in, I would be remiss, and Cleaning Nation would kill me if I didn't ask. You've been in business 3 years. You just got your biggest account. How did you come by it?
Basically, I have a team of people that makes calls for us, do appointment setting, and they set up an appointment for me, and we went in, and this was actually a year ago, and we went in bid form, and unfortunately, they selected someone else, but this year, they called us because that company didn't do a good job for them, and we were told after 9 months, they couldn't take them anymore. And they really wanted us to do it. They didn't bid anybody else again. And we went in and talked, and we got the account, got a signed contract, and we're ready to go.
All right. Well, I don't know about you, Cleaning Nation, but I learned two things just now. One, I like that you had a system to attract clients. Telemarketing is not my favorite, but I do like that you had a system that's repeatable and scalable. So you have other people mm-hmm. making calls, and that sent you an appointment, which is fantastic. And again, telemarketing is great, but you want to have lots of them, but that's a good potential. Two, I like that the concept that I'm always talking about is you got to sell. Customers want to buy when they're ready to buy, not when you want to sell. So,
correct.
I love that hopefully you were keeping in contact with them and had some sort of follow-up, systematized follow-up system. And if not, you got lucky that they still remembered you. But that's just a great concept that a no today is definitely not a no tomorrow. And those people almost are always going to go out for bid the next couple of years. So I wanted to absolutely. Make sure that we hit those. Go ahead.
And absolutely for us. I mean, we have follow-up. We send out newsletters monthly. We have postcards that we send out at different holidays and different things just to touch base. And then we also just give people a call just to check on them. I do personally as the owner, I reach out to people and just say hello from time to time to just check on them and see how they're doing. And, you know, based on that, you know, that's why they, you know, want to go with us because they like that follow-up and that feedback and the genuineness of me. And that's exactly what was their answer to me for giving us a call.
Man, you are doing a lot of things right, my friend. We haven't talked before, and you're not one of my coaching clients. So I just want to encourage you that that's a lot of the newsletters and the follow-up. You are on point, buddy. So keep up the good work in that. And I'm honored to be able to help and work you through your question now. So what I heard you say was you just got your biggest account. Did you say you need three new full-time, part-time? What do you need?
Three new full-time.
Full-time being 40 hours a week?
It's, after lunch and all that, you're probably looking about 35 hours a week full-time. It's a five-day-a-week account. And you're going to have two day porters and one night cleaner.
Okay, cool. So, Cleaning Nation, you probably know this. Derek, I'm not sure if I've mentioned this. I am not a fan of full-time cleaners. I'm not saying you can't ever do it, but I'd rather have five part-timers than two full-timers or three full-timers. That said, obviously you've got to take care of the customer. So if they have a day porter and a need for, we want someone here from this hour to this hour, obviously you're going to do that. So I'm not saying you never, never, never have full-time people, but foundationally and conceptually, I'd always rather have more part-time people than fewer full-time people. And I've gone over that enough in other podcasts. I won't dive deep into that, but I just wanted to make sure I kind of had an asterisk. Okay. So we need three generally full-time 30 to 35 hours or 35 hour people. When are you starting the job? How many days do you have?
I'm starting the job on August 5th. It's the first cleaning. We actually have their floor care that we're doing next Monday and Tuesday. It's like a 60,000 square foot account. So that's Monday and Tuesday. And then we're going in August 1st and 2nd to do a one-time clean of the whole facility, and then the actual janitorial cleaning starts on the 5th.
Okay, so you've got some stuff going on, but it sounds like you gave yourself about a month of spool-up time to get ready. Is that correct?
Exactly okay. That. Yeah.
And that would have been my first bit of coaching, and I am giving that to the listeners out there, is a lot of times we get so excited in our kind of excitement of a new job, we just start saying yes to no matter what. You know, when can you start? I'll be here tomorrow without thinking through that. So always make sure that before you, I'd rather you set the expectations right and tell someone I can't do that and keep your word than, you know, right off the bat, start the relationship with a overpromise and underdeliver type situation. So I'll give you a couple things. First of all, let's talk about how I'd like to have it happen if I were talking to people that hadn't got the big account but were going to get the big account. So if I'm talking to you a month ago, and then we'll talk, so you can kind of be ready for the next big account, and then we'll talk about what you do now. So first of all, I always like having a bench. In the cleaning business, there's just too much turnover. Even when you do stuff right, you can make it way, way better, but it's still going to be higher than most other industries. So I don't like having zero people to call when I need somebody. The easiest bench to have is a subcontractor. Another company who you're going to pay obviously more, right? You're going to pay somewhere between what you pay your people and retail to have them come in and work for you or under you with your uniforms or your whatever. I don't like that, right. But that's always a great kind of break glass in case of emergency situation. And you don't want to make that situation today. Well, you do want to make that today, but you have that for next month, not for this particular situation. So I would encourage all of you to kind of know a couple other people that you work with in your area that if they need people and you have extra, you can help it out and vice versa, and just kind of have an agreed upon rate. So if and when you get into a bind, you know that you can call someone and have literally like today I'll have somebody. Not ideal for long term, not very profitable, but it'll get your butt out of a jam when you when your mouth was running and you said yes, 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 and then you don't have the capacity to do it. So that's the first thing I would do. Second thing is the two big concepts I'm always talking about is we need systems to attract clients and systems to attract employees. And you want to have those systems working all the time. A major mistake a lot of people do is, oh my gosh, I want to grow my business, so I need more customers. And they start running around getting more customers. And then it works and they start getting customers like, oh my gosh, I'm so busy, I need to get more employees. So they turn off all the customer attracting systems that they had started and they run around like crazy trying to get employees. And then they get employees and they go, oh my gosh, I need more. And they just run back and forth between those two things. What needs to happen is systems that are running all the time, just like, and you've got those systems for the client attraction, it sounds like, with the, oh yeah, we've got a newsletter, we've got I call people periodically on old bids that we've done. So you've got some of the systems already on the client attraction. You want to start thinking of employee attraction just like that. So you're not starting to look for employees. You always are looking for employees and you're not doing it yourself, but you've got systems that attract employees to you and you're constantly in that hiring mode. So when you need three, it's like, well, generally we only hire one a month, but now we need three this month. I've already got the systems. I'm just going to ramp them up or hire a few more. Does that make sense so far?
That makes sense. Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So that's how, had you come to me a month ago, that's what I would coach you to do, is start building those systems. Now you're going, okay, all well and good. I'll do that for next time, but I gotta get three guys. What do I do?
Right.
Here's what I do. So first, and again, there's a lot of other podcasts that go into core values and how to write ads that really represent who you are and how you got to hire people into something bigger than what you're doing, not just for a paycheck, and how you really want them to match up with what you believe in. You want employees that share your values. All that's super important. There's other podcasts I would encourage you, and maybe I'll even put them in the show notes, is, you know, what other podcasts kind of go along with this one. But what you're going to want to do from a practical standpoint is, first of all, I hate Craigslist. Don't do that. But find something like an Indeed.com, or even if you have to pay, find a paid. And again, the background for all this is you really need to know who your ideal customer or who your ideal employee is. Is it male, female, young, old, Hispanic, white, married, single, full-time? Is this their only job? Is this a part-time job? Do they work nights? Is it a single mom? All that information. Once you know that, it's a lot easier to identify where they hang out, right? If your perfect employee is a mom who stays home with her kids during the day and wants some extra income during the night, she's going to hang out in a very different place than a dad who's like, I have a family to support and I need 40 to 60 hours a week. See, he's going to hang out in a very different place than the other. So if you don't have that done, do something general like Indeed or Monster, or, you know, a kind of a broader, here's why I advertise for employees. The good news is these minimum wage type employees, you'll put out a decent ad and you might get 50 to 75 resumes, a ton. And we'd have to talk more about how to do that so you get a better caliber, but a different topic for a different day. So what you're going to do is put out in advertising. It's easier because you're looking to pay people as opposed to get paid. Advertise, and Indeed's a good place to start right now at the broadcast of this, but things change. Not Craigslist, never Craigslist. Those always suck. But kind of mass marketplaces like that online, ideally. Put out an ad. You'll generally, if you've done this, you do a decent ad, you'll get like 40, 50, 60, 70, even 100 applicants in one ad.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying these are all good or you want any of them. I'm just saying you'll get a wall in, and that's where people get overwhelmed, because what'll happen is they kind of go by word of mouth and look for employee referrals and things like that, which is really the best way to go, but it's hard to do to scale that and get three right away. So then they go do an advertisement, and one of two things happens. They write a crappy ad in the wrong medium to the wrong people and nobody responds, or they write a good ad in the right medium that engages with people and they get too many responses, and then they're like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to wade through all these crappy, you know, I get 100 responses and 80 of them suck.
Right.
So you're going to want to have a system for that. And again, we don't have a ton of time, but I'll give you what I can in the time that we've got. The system that you're going to want to put together is a phone interview that's scripted that you can do, or your people can do, or anybody can do, that's the same three or four questions that just gets rid of the kind of the low-hanging obvious you're not a fit, right? Because, first of all, when you get the applications, always put an instruction in your ad, like, you know, put this in the header. Tell me three reasons why we should interview you. Give a specific instruction, and everyone that doesn't follow that instruction, just toss in the trash, because that'll be the way to get rid of 80% of them. You give a specific instruction, they don't do it. They just give you a, you know, put in their resume and ignore your instructions altogether. So that'll get rid of a lot of the kind of looky-loos. The second way you're going to screen through this big pile of people that, you know, aren't really good candidates. Some of them are, right? There's a diamond in that haystack, but you got to go fish for it. The first way is to give them a clear instruction. Everybody that doesn't follow that instruction, eliminate. Just don't even deal with them. Second is you do a quick phone call, and it's just going to be two or three quick things. Like, I like to have a core value check. You know what? In that question is going to be something like, "What attracted you to the ad?" And you kind of, I get the idea of, "Oh, it was the money." Well, that's not who you want. If it's like, "Oh, you guys seem to be fun, or you seem to really want to help people, or whatever," that I'm into that. That's a core value fit. Second, you know, things like, a lot of people, you know, do you have your own transportation? You know, that sort of stuff. You know, where do you speak English? You just two or three quick. Once you start doing this, you'll start realizing, like, oh, the vast majority of people we disqualify are for these two or three obvious and easy reasons. They don't have transportations. They're not legal to work in the States. You know, what, they can't pass a drug test, whatever your specific requirements for your place are. So that's the first one. That's the second one. The first one is, here's an instruction in the ad. If you don't follow it, that's over. Second one is a quick phone, not a 20, 30 minute phone call. That's what most newer owners, the mistake they make is they'll call and make best friends and talk for a half hour for someone that's never going to work. So these are like 5 minute quick and easy, the two or three scripted questions that you know are going to eliminate the most people that don't fit quickly. The third step is you have a recurring group interview, right? We're not going to get 12 interviews, because you'll see, ideally, if you start with 50 or 60, you know, 20 or 30 won't follow instructions. You'll still have 30 or 40 calls to make. That's still like 10 or 15 interviews. You're like, good Lord, this is like three full-time jobs. So the first interview is a group interview, and that's also scripted. So you're going to invite everybody. And that group interview, guess what? It's every Thursday at 3:30 p.m. or what you pick a time. But that way, because once you start getting more sophisticated, you'll have three or four different places pouring into where, you know, it won't just be Indeed.com. You'll have three or four different places that are, you know, bringing you prospective employees. So you can just, you and your staff can all just say, "Oh yeah, we'll have you in for a group interview this Thursday. We've got one this Thursday at 3:30 and pick a date. So they always know. And I can't tell you the confidence you're going to have in your company when every Thursday or whatever day you pick, five or six people show up looking to get work. Like, it really encourages you to not have to be held hostage by bad employees or worry about, should I take this job? I can't get them. So you do that. And then of the five or six or however many group employees you get, ideally you're really looking for one or two or maybe three, you know, however many you can get, one-on-one interviews, and those are with you. And then the final step is, if they pass the one-on-one interview, I never hire anybody without them working. So I say, if they don't pass, obviously you stop the process. If they do pass, that's where you take them into you get them started. Okay, come to this job. The final part of your interview is, and I like 2 weeks, but that's up to you, a week or two of actually working with them to decide if you want to hire them. And of course, when they're working, you have to pay them, right? This isn't slave labor. But they do not have the job for the first 2 weeks, right? This is a trial period where they're 1099, and that's the final piece. So that's kind of a really quick overview of the whole process. Before we hit the lightning round, any questions about that?
No, I do some of that. The last thing that I do is actually I have people work for a day, but 2 weeks sounds actually even better. I have them work for a day just to see how they do, if they're kind of lazy or if they actually work, if they pick up and, you know, try to do some work and things like that. That kind of gives me an idea of what they may do. But the 2 weeks, I see how to incorporate that as well. All of your other ideas sound fantastic, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, people can fake you out for a day, but it's really hard for them to not show their true colors in 2 weeks. And again, don't underestimate the power of the group interview, because it's so easy to get overwhelmed with how many people that you want to talk to. The group interview allows you to really talk to a lot of people at one time. And also, it sets a nice vibe for, you know, the employees that you've got. If they know that you've got five or six people looking to work for you coming in every week, they're motivated to be like, "Oh crap, people want to work here. This is a good job. I should pay attention." And then the people that are looking to interview kind of the same thing. They're looking around and going, man, five or six other guys or gals looking for my same job. I better, you know, this is a real deal. So there's a lot of benefits. We don't have time to go over on the group interview as well. All right. So this doesn't turn into a 6-hour podcast. Let's hit the lightning round, my friend. This is your opportunity to give back to Cleaning Nation. Three quick questions. You're going to hit me with three amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Best piece of advice is always go after for what I want. Go after whatever I want. Never let anyone tell me that I can't achieve something.
Love it. I can't imagine somebody arguing with that. All right, question two. What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that maybe we can save ourselves some headache from?
Hiring family. I thought they would be the best employees ever, and they just turned out to be the worst ever. So I'll never do that again.
There are people that do really well with family and people that get their teeth kicked in. So at the very minimum, yeah, exercise extreme caution when hiring family. Great point. All right. One idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice today that will improve their lives and or their business.
The best practice I can think of is know your business. Don't leave it in the hands of others to know what your numbers are. You have to know your numbers and what things cost, from equipment to supplies to your gas, your everything. Know your numbers so that when you bid on a job, you're not doing it for free.
Man, I got to tell you, Derek, you are really hitting some key points that sounds like me here sometimes. I really appreciate you sharing that. Hey, Derek, thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your expertise, all the good stuff that you're going through. I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. When you want to check out Derek's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.